Today I'm talking to Fleur Anderson, the MP for Putney. Welcome back to Radio Jackie, Fleur. It's always a pleasure to have you on board.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Shall we go straight in? Can we talk about your campaign to protect children online? I understand over 1,000 parents in Putney have pledged their support to limit smartphone use and social media use. How are they going to do that? Have they told you how they're going to do that?
Absolutely. I think many parents listening would roll their eyes in frustration and be very, very keen to hear what's going to happen on this. I don't meet any parents, I think, who go, "Oh, this is all fine. What are you doing?" Oh, instead, I meet so many parents like myself who think we are being asked to n not allow our children to go onto any social media content that's harmful, and we don't want them seeing things that they're far too young to see. We don't want predators to be able to get in contact with them. We don't want the online space to be a place of harm for them. But we're being asked to do the policing of it. We're being asked to see what they're seeing, check what they're doing on their social, on their phones. And yet it feels like those social media companies are always one step ahead. They're always doing things which are pushing information at our children, and we can't keep ahead of it. So instead, what we're saying is that social media platforms themselves should be responsible for making the online space very, very safe for our young people, and to raise that age of consent. Currently, it's at 13 that you can get access to all social media platforms. You can see anything. From 13, really, that should be raised to 16, to give young people 3 more years to get to know themselves before the world gets to know them, and to ensure that there are much stronger measures. So there's going to be a consultation on this. So, and then it'll be launched next week, and it'll last for a month. So I urge anyone listening to really get involved in that consultation. If you want to have your say, or if you have young people that you know that are living with you, your children, if you want them to have their say as well, I think this is really important that this is the time. And then how the social media companies will be asked to curtail that is to come in the next phase.
Absolutely. I mean, they're also putting out that you can get around it by using a VPN, a virtual private network, and our sort of slightly older, younger children are managing to do that. They're very computer literate. They know how to get around these things, don't they, if they really, really want to. So it is schools. I understand Zakir came to Putney recently and we talked about how schools could maybe take smartphones off the children, put them in a locker and give them back to them when they go home. I think there's so many ways of tackling it. It's a symbiotic effort from schools and parents, and also from the parents and schools' point of view, to provide a space for people to come to and kids to come to saying, "I saw something out there, I wasn't very happy with it," and not feel guilty about it, but sharing it with them, don't you think?
Right, so schools have got a role to play, and this whole conversation has really been ha started with schools, started with restricting the access. And you could immediately see that there's less bullying in schools, and then there's more concentration by young people in the classes, and that teachers just have less conflict with young people over that. And it's perfectly possible to do, and it's even easier to do when all the schools in an area are also doing it. So kids aren't saying, but they have got their phones, and they have got different rules. And it's the same with homes as well. So it's no good just doing it in schools, because as soon as they get home, they've got all this access. If it's harmful content, it's harmful when they're at home as well. So, and it's the same principles as well. So young people are going to be better off if they're spending less time on this kind of doom scrolling.
Yeah.
And it's the algorithm that's doing that. It's the way it's built. But social media doesn't have to be like this. It can change. And that also, if your children were having to do this and all their friends weren't, but what if all young people were asked to do the same? Now you say, yes, they can get around it. And in Australia, they've gone ahead of us. They've already brought this in the new year. And what they are finding is, yes, young people are very clever. They're going to get around this and find the way they want. But that same thing happened with, say, cigarettes or alcohol. You ban cigarettes for under 16-year-olds. It's the right thing to do. It's harmful for children to be smoking. Of course, children can go and ask for an older child to go, an older young person to go and get it. They can find ways around it. They can get access to cigarettes. But the main thing is that we're saying, We're drawing a line in the sand. We're saying what's harmful and what's not, and that you can then build on it. So in Australia, they have found that it's a good start to say that there are nine platforms that are banned was their way of saying, look, we'll start with this, but most importantly, we'll put in ways in which rules can adapt and get better as we go along. So I think this is what parents are saying, don't wait for the perfect thing. Let's just get on with this. We know it's harmful for young people, so let's stop that harm.
Yeah, and when Sir Keith came to St Mary's in Putney, what was a visit about smartphones in school, or was it about the whole campaign that you've been running?
He actually came to St Mary's Church Community Centre. What he wanted to do was to meet with young people and with parents and talk about the new things that the government is doing without waiting for the consultation to be over. That will help for what should happen in the future. But there are things that can be done right now to stop that harmful content and put into place things like, that Grok
Oh, yeah.
app that was used to have nude pictures of people. It's clear that immediately when Keir Starmer said to that American company, this is not acceptable, they came back and went, oh, we will keep doing it, but it'll be behind a paywall or age. He said, no, stop it. We don't want that. And they were able to respond to that. And so it's putting in place the ability for government to say very clearly to social media companies, there's very unacceptable ways in which you are sending this content to our young people, and you must stop it. So that's what he was coming to Putney to talk to people, but also to make some announcements about what the government is doing straight away, and which I'm really glad about. Let's not wait. Let's get on with a lot, but also let's get it right.
Yeah, let's move forward. That's a great thing. What do you think about the reforms to send with every child now with special educational needs needing an individual support package? Are we moving the right way forward with send children?
Talking about issues that a lot of parents care about, this is the other big one of the week for sure. So I've been working with parents in schools across the constituency from before when I was an MP as well, when I was a councillor too, for many years, just seeing more and more examples of where the system is broken. Parents know that their children need additional support, and yet too often have to fight to get it, to fight in this system to get it. So what the reforms will mean is that there's much more early intervention, early prevention, those early years, without having to fight for years to get support. Why not give them their support when they need it earlier? But that means more money, that means putting more support into mainstream schools, and that means more training and support for those teachers, not overloading them with more things they're expected to do, but actually making the space within schools, physical space, and the space for teachers to be able to do this. And this is what teachers have been asking for so long. I've just been at one of our local charities called Beyond Autism. I've just been in Wandsworth Town talking through the proposals with them and saying, so what do you think? They've been worked on for a long time. Lots of local people have submitted their thoughts on these proposals, and I think ministers have really listened to them. I can see that in the plans. And they were really supportive. They were saying, yes, this is what we need. There's more details to be seen as we go along. They want to see what they are. But in principle, these are exactly the reforms that are needed. Now, these don't come into law straight away. They're a consultation. There's a 12-week consultation on this. So everyone should know, everyone listening. I think a lot of people are going to be concerned, understandably so. What does this mean for my child? What does this mean for my existing support? What might this mean for support in the future? And I would urge everyone just to look at the plans, see what you think, and respond to the consultation. And I will be meeting with groups of parents to do that as well.
That's super. So you've got two consultations going on. So how do people find a
Yes.
consultation on your website?
I should be putting it up on my website, but they're on the government website as well. If you just Google either of these, the consultations will be out. The social media consultation will be out, I think, on the 6th of March, and the white paper consultation is out now.
And just briefly going back to picking up special needs for children earlier. Sometimes those needs can be limited and they don't grow into bigger needs as they get older. So the early intervention is absolutely essential, isn't it?
Yes, and I think that's what the distinction is here between the individual support plans and the education and care health plans. Because you, so ch children have different needs and they change over time as well. You might not need a full EHCP plan. An individual support plan in schools is what's going to be rolled out over time, which was making sure that more children get that support, but it's individualized and it might be less support that's needed than others. So that's really responding to the different levels of support that are needed, and making sure the system doesn't come in either full on for some children and then others get left out, but actually all children get the support they need.
Yeah. Moving on, and still on support as such, you recently convened a roundtable on PIPs. How did that go?
So this roundtable was on the PIP breast implant scandal. So 47,000 women across the UK had these implants from this French company, which is called PIP. And I don't know if I talked to quite a few people about this, and the kind of people say, "Oh, I think I remember that." So in 2011, the French company was taken to court and found that they were illegal. The actual filler for the breast implants was found to be sort of some mattress infiller, which should never have been used in anyone's body at all. It's really toxic stuff. And these implants were made really badly and are more likely to rupture. So lots of women with breast cancer have got these. There are lots of women who've got them for health reasons and for cosmetic reasons, but they were slowly, this poison he seeped out. And then women would go to their doctors and say, "I've got these symptoms. I've got really bad headaches. I've got joint pain." And they were being told, "Oh, it's just the menopause. You know, it's just, so it's a women's issue. You know, it's not," they weren't given the link between actually it's your breast implants. They weren't being told, and they still aren't being told 15 years on. So I was meeting with women who have been affected. There's a woman who runs the whole of the national and international campaign because she is a victim herself, and she's based in my constituency, which is why I know about it. She was there talking about her experience. I had senior cosmetic surgeons talking about the impact that they are seeing on women. And I had a lawyer from France coming in as well and talking about the lawsuits that are going on at the moment. Just last month, 341 women received compensation because of an ongoing lawsuit in France. But I would say the government's not doing enough here to identify the women that are affected, to contact them proactively and tell them this might be why you're having health problems, and then to offer for them to be taken out and replaced.
Do you think it will actually get to a law case in the UK as a precedent?
They might do. What the women have found here is really shockingly, a lot of the companies that put in the breast implants have what they call phoenixed. You know, like a phoenix rises from the ashes.
Yeah.
The company goes bankrupt, declares itself bankrupt, and then surprisingly starts up again. This would be a cosmetic surgery practice. Starts up again with a very similar name in the same place, but they're not liable because that company is not there. So lawsuits have been found to be very difficult to do in this country, but they have been looked at for a long time. So, but why we were looking at what can the government do? What can the patient health commissioner do? And what is it in the system that allowed that to happen as well that needs to be changed?
Let's go on to buses. And I think you've been talking to the Go Ahead bus company about the bus route, I think between Putney and Hammersmith. They're at their break clause in the contract at the moment, their 4-year break. Have you been assured that the bus route will still continue, or are there sort of murmurings that they might not be able to continue the route?
Well, there's been a lot of issues about that. I mean, I think it's scaremongering, to be honest. If you use, it's the 93 bus route. If you use the 93, do not worry. I've received assurances from Transport for London, and I can read it out to you. Transport for London say, "I can assure you that the 93 and the other bus routes mentioned are safe and their service will be maintained. There is no threat to services on any of the bus routes from Go Ahead's action." That's the contract being changed over last week. Bus operators do not carry revenue risk under these contracts. So they are not saying we're not going to stop these bus routes at all. It has been a lot of rumours, which I'm very glad to be able to make clear to people, these bus routes are not affected.
Let's go on to talk about your and my favourite subject, water. Do you think the January overhaul of the water sector, replacing Ofwat, MOTs on pipes, broad enforcement powers is enough. It's a step in the right direction, but do you think we need more?
I think it's as much as can be done now, and I think, and I've talked to ministers about this as well. Will there be more? And there will be more. But this is a very, very good step in, as you say. It's more than a step in the right direction. It's a real change in the system. And I don't know if many of the listeners have actually watched the drama Dirty Business that was aired this week, but I would really recommend you to watch it. It's a shocking watch about how the privatization of the water companies meant less regulation, more sewage going into our waters, and there's some very shocking there's some families who've died from E. coli, some families with children who died from E. coli. The impact of this is not just horrible water that we can't swim in. It's really life and death. So it's really important that we fine the water companies more when they need to be, that we have more people who can check this in the Environment Agency. If they're not being checked, we don't know. And that there's much more, that the water companies have to report more of what's going on, but also take action on it. They've been reporting more for the last few years because the government asked them to, but they're actually acting on those reports need to happen more. So I think it's really very strong, the action that's being taken. And it's very strong to say to the water bosses, you are going to be liable as well. You are going to be personally liable for what you're doing. We have Thames Water in our region, and they have failed us on so many counts. And I think there's going to be a real change now because of this new legislation.
That's good. Another piece of legislation as such, which isn't there, building a huge number of houses is being proposed as a real driver for growth for the Labour Party. Do you think water companies should be statutory consultees before planning proposals are submitted? Because this is important. I mean, they say you have to have infrastructure, you have to have schools, you have to have GP surgeries, you have to have sustainable transport. But all the water companies have to do is, well, best practice. Yes, that's okay. We can cope with it, whether they can or not.
A really good point. And the government's proposals for changes in the water company are, yes, that the water companies will be statutory consultees. So any planning application comes along, if people are going to build houses near anyone who's listening in, they have to have all of that infrastructure in place. So that's really important. And also, what's coming to light is that there shouldn't be houses built on floodplains as well, because that is a clear. Clearly, there's a climate emergency, that there are going to be more severe weather events coming on, including flooding. And so, ha where housing is put, as well as having good water infrastructure, they're both very linked. That needs to be very clear.
When has it become law that they will be statutory consultees, the water companies?
It's a proposal at the moment, and I don't know which piece of legislation it is. There's so many bits of legislation we have
I
all
know.
lined up, ready to come in. So I can't tell you. I don't know exactly when that's going to come to the House of Commons, but it will be. It's going to be in the legislation coming up. But when it's actually brought forward, I am not sure.
It's interesting you say about houses being built on floodplains. You also shouldn't be building houses even above floodplains, because what you do is alter the water table and make the flooding even worse. And that's not being looked at all when they're putting these planning proposals in, is it?
We're putting a lot more duties on water companies. They have to clean up our rivers, but they also have to ensure that these new houses, when they're put in, they have that good water infrastructure, as well as having the good everything else infrastructure. So GP surgeries, schools, good roads. No, we're going to be stopping having these developments which are put in, and then they are not part of the local council provision. So they're put in, and then people who move into them find out that they are liable for keeping up the roads, all things that they thought the council does. So actually, we're stopping that as well.
Right, let's go to Hammersmith Bridge and now the Albert Bridge. So you had a meeting recently at the Hammersmith Bridge. How did that go? And then with the announcement the Albert Bridge is to close for a year for repairs, has that given the impetus to get Hammersmith Bridge open more momentum?
Favorite subject, Jackie. Thank you for asking me about Hammersmith Bridge. For anyone listening in who lives anywhere near Putney, you will know that we suffer so much from an increased congestion, increased pollution, but also those bus routes that were cut when Hammersmith Bridge was closed. So I did have a protest outside Hammersmith Bridge itself a couple of weekends away ago, and lots of hundreds of people came down from Putney to say, yes, it's nice to go across a bridge which is just for bikes and pedestrians, but it's been closed for 7 years now, and the impact on us in Putney is still being very, very keenly felt. And then since that protest, we've had Albert Bridge closing, as you say. So now we're in between. We've got Albert Bridge on one side, we've got Hammersmith Bridge closed on the other side. Albert Bridge is supposed to be closed for up to a year, but who knows how long it's going to be. So I wrote straight away to the minister to say, look, we've now got two bridges closed. We need to see this action. And I have had a response from the minister today, Jackie, I can tell you. So the minister, Simon Lightwood, the Minister for Transport, said, there is a structures fund. There's a very, very big fund for that the government has for structures across the whole of the UK. And that he said that the Hammersmith Bridge is a very, very strong contender for this fund. It's a slight move forward, but I want to say that it's actually in the fund. So I mean, I'm not cracking open the champagne yet, but I have got a response from the minister acknowledging the issues we're facing with Hammersmith Bridge, acknowledging, I think, that Albert Bridge is adding to that, and saying, okay, we're moving one step forward. So he's going to be talking to everyone who can put money into this pot. That's Hammersmith and Fulham Council and Transport for London, saying, how much money can you put in the pot? Here's what we're going to put in. Let's make this happen. I will not celebrate until we have an actual decision made. It's been so frustrating, but I am glad we're one step further, and it's definitely not a no. So that's good.
So it's an almost a yippee, but not quite.
It's a small yippee.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lastly, Gorton and Densham by-election today. Very, very bad result for Labour. 13,700 majority overturned. Do you think it was a protest vote about Andy Burnham not getting a chance to sit for the seat?
Been up to Gorton and Denton. I've been there myself, walked around in the rain in Manchester. I can tell everyone listening in that it's much colder up there than it is in London. But it's always really good just to talk to people. I had one person when I was out talking about Andy, but everyone else was talking about cost of living. They were talking about the government not doing enough, being frustrated, and I get that. So I do think it was a protest vote. I do think people are saying we want to see the government doing more, and I feel that we're doing as much as we can and going as fast as we can to fix so many different parts of the system that's broken. We already talked about the whole of the special needs system. There's so much more to do. So I am disappointed. I'm not saying this was a great result in any way. I'm really disappointed. I think we had a fantastic candidate. There's lots for us to think about. But I'm glad that people voted for something which is a progressive change. I think that's what people want to see. I think we are giving them that, but we need to make sure we go faster to make people really feel that we're on the side of everyone who's working hard and not seeing the results of that work in many different ways. So I'm going to redouble my efforts. I'm sure all of us in government will be doing that as well, to make sure that people can see the results of the change, because that's when they will see that the Labour Party and the policies we're putting in are working for ordinary working people.
And I can see you're very passionate about that, Fleur. So thank you very much. I think it's about time to let you go. Thank you so much for coming back onto radio, Jackie. I look forward to speaking to you in another month's time. And maybe we will have a yippee moment about Hammersmith Bridge. But thank you again for coming on
Always
this
hopeful.
afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fleur. Take care. Bye for now.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Bye.